Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. Today's guest is Aubrey Hodges. She is a teacher, writer, and co-founder of Child of the Redwoods with her husband, David. Aubrey is a Montessori parent educator. She is best known for her empathetic approach and appreciation for the beauty of childhood. As a lifelong Montessori advocate, former public school teacher, and AMS-certified lower elementary guide, her passion has always been to bring Montessori into the mainstream. She has written two child development books, Toddler Discipline for Every Age and Stage, and Baby's First Year Milestones, and is the lead instructor for all of Child of the Redwoods' current programs. Her big dream? Well, it's to make Montessori affordable and accessible to parents all over the world. Aubrey and David founded Child of the Redwoods in 2017 to provide high-quality, developmentally aligned online courses and curriculum to parents. In this episode, we talk about how most parents don't know that children are basically capable of teaching themselves. They believe their role as teacher homeschoolers is better thought to be as a guide rather than instructing. Also, how Montessori is for every child because it is developmentally based and individualized, but it's not necessarily for every parent. Lastly, how Child of the Redwoods aims to continue this work, but outside of the school system. Our goal is to help parents understand their children deeply so that teaching is intuitive. Go grab your coffee, go grab your tea, and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Aubrey has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guest, and can you tell a fun fact about your industry and what you do?
Sure. Hi, everyone. It's so nice to be here. I'm Aubrey. I actually live in Northern California, surrounded by these gorgeous redwood forests. We live in the city, but within just 45 minutes, we can get into the deep, dark, gorgeous redwoods. And in fact, it so resonated with me that we named our company Child of the Redwoods. And I feel like a child when I'm in them, when I go into those redwoods and I'm in the middle of these beautiful little groupings of trees that just reach up to the sky. You can see the sun at the tippy top. You can't even tell how high they are when you're looking up into the canopy. There's this great humility that you experience, that you feel when you are walking among them. And I think that most people just can't help but feel this kind of reverence. But something that most people actually don't know about the redwoods is that their root systems and, you know, they are a kind of rainforest. Actually, most people don't think of them as like a rainforest, but they are these amazing, amazing living organisms on our earth. They are all connected. There's usually a grouping of them. It's very rare to just find one redwood tree alone. You can't, like, people will plant them in their yards around here. And so sometimes you do occasionally see one by itself, but that's not really the way it's supposed to be. Redwoods are supposed to be in community with each other. And usually, there is a mother tree that is kind of at the center, and they can propagate themselves in a variety of ways. They can kind of send out these tendrils and sprout upwards from that mother tree just through the root system. And they also have pine cones. So they can also spread themselves beautifully, you know, by dropping these teeny tiny little gorgeous pine cones all over the place. But the point is, they are all together just in this community. And I think when you go walk into the redwoods, you can't help but feel that, like, there's some kind of magic around you. There's just something there.
I agree. Whenever I'm in, like, well, first, before I even go there, I didn't know that they were kind of like a rainforest. That is really cool. Wow. That's really amazing. And I love the way you explained it, that they are interconnected and they're not meant to be alone. Just exactly like us as people. I really feel nature reflects humanity, and it's such a beautiful design of how it all comes together. And we are meant to be the keepers of this earth. Like, this is our gift. You know what I mean? And it was said once by someone that, which really, really hit me hard when he said it. He said, this earth, if we didn't live on it, would still keep going. It would be able to still function. But if the earth wasn't created the way it is, in its exact way, we couldn't live on it.
Yep.
We need this earth to be the way it is so we can live on it. The earth itself can live without us. We can't live without the earth because we weren't created for the earth. The earth was created for us. And I'm like, whoa. And he's like, it was created for us to take care of it. And it's such a powerful thing when you think about that. Like, we weren't created for the earth because the earth can go without us, but
right.
The earth was created for us so we can live in it, love it, appreciate it, enjoy it, take those moments. And like, I read your Child of the Redwoods and it like literally resonates with my spirit. I'm like, oh, I want to just be there and just like sit and be like, oh. So I'm a Christian. So I'm like, for me, I'd be like, God, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yes.
You know, like you're,
it's the original church. I really do feel. And I think that's also, I think people feel that reverence when they go out into the redwoods and have sometimes very spiritual moments out there. And we even name, you know, we'll name little groupings like this is a cathedral, you know, of redwoods, this little grouping over here. And you'll kind of notice that people do tend to name them
beautiful
names that exhibit that kind of reverence for
nature. Oh, that's
nature.
So beautiful. Yeah. So Child of the Redwoods, that's your company. What do you do? Like, what is your expertise and your genius?
Well, my personal background is Montessori. And nice. So that's always going to be the perspective that I come from. It is a philosophy that works for every child. I know that not everybody knows about Montessori, but what we really specialize in is teaching at our company too, is teaching parents about the development of their children so that they can educate them. And we believe that whether parents think of themselves as educators or not, they are their children. First, primary and continual educators throughout the whole entire plan, you know, as the child grows from a baby all the way to a fully realized adult, you know, as parents, it is our job, it is our responsibility to be their educator and not just think of ourselves as, oh, the person who, you know, cares for these children or birth them or whatever, but we actually have this very important responsibility to carry them, to share all of the wonderful things about the world and all of the evil things about the world as well and help them to feel empowered and capable in this world. And there's really nobody else who has that kind of ultimate responsibility as parents. But I think that where this intersects with homeschooling is that, and you know, I place no judgment whether people put their kids in school or not. I mean, I was a teacher. I love school. It's where my background is from.
Yeah.
But there is something I think where there comes a point where most people do put their children into a school system. And then they kind of think to themselves, okay, I'm not my child's teacher anymore. Like I'm turning that responsibility over to someone else. And it is true that during for parts of the day, you might be turning over the care of your child to another person, even whether you're a homeschooler or not, you don't have to be a full-time homeschooler to also, you know, let your child have some experience being cared for by other adults, right? But the responsibility of education is never lifted from parents. And we believe that we can help parents by empowering them to really see themselves as being capable of sharing life's mysteries with their children. By being aware of their development. And Montessori has a fantastic curriculum. And so what we do in our company is we actually retool the Montessori lessons and method for homeschoolers specifically so that it's easy for parents to implement it in their own homes or wherever they happen to be living with their children.
I love that. You know, it's Maria Montessori, right? Is it Maria Montessori? Yeah.
Yes.
So my aunt had a daycare center and she studied Montessori and her whole daycare center was Montessori driven. And her kids, you know, would come in one way and they left, you know, into someone to traditional school, wherever they went for their education, their further education, because she stopped right at the moment the school age started and she would, you know, let them go. They were always way further than the most because she really was able to like hone in through that technique and that structure of how Montessori does things and really develop their strengths. And she didn't have a ton of kids because I think that type of like method. So she had like 10 kids at a time, which I think is probably a lot still. You know what I mean? For a daycare center, and it's just
totally.
Her. Yeah, is she had nobody else there. But, you know, really working on all different ages, from like, she would have from like 6 months old to like 4 and a half. So 5, they were no longer with her. So about 4, 4 and a half, they'd be exiting out. And
Yeah.
I just remember how much fun the kids would have and all that stuff. And I love how you're just explaining it. And, you know, it is really awesome when parents are able to come under that type of teaching and that methodology, really helping them be more organic and, you know, just seeing where their kids are at, you know. And it's okay. I am a public school teacher, but I personally want to break everyone of the traditional school mindset. Like, I try
Yes.
to break my own students. Like, some of my students, what, so funny, I'll just say really quick. One of my students last quarter, I was having a conversation with the class. It was almost a 40 minutes of us just talking back and forth. And I was just asking them questions. I'm like, oh, so what do you guys think about, you know, the kelp forest? And what do you guys think about this? And how does this work together? And, you know, what interactions were used? And I'm just talking with them. And one of my students, he gently texted me. He's like, are we going to do any work today? And I'm like, we are. Like, we like legitimately, we are right now. He's like, oh, he goes, it just doesn't feel like we're working. I'm like, we're literally processing all the things that we've learned like the last 8 weeks. I'm like, we need this time for conversation to see what everybody else thinks. And he couldn't understand it. Like, he
Yeah.
needed the worksheet. He didn't feel good unless he was reading something or doing this. And he couldn't bring himself to like understand that the part of learning is talking about it, expressing what you're learning, applying it to different things. And it was really interesting for me to see like a 14-year-old kid just not be able to break himself of that mold. And it was at that moment I'm like, I got to break these kids from this type of thinking. Like, it's
Oh,
just,
yes.
yeah, I'm like, this is not learning. You know what I mean? Like, always worksheets. I mean, like, they have a place, but it's not all time. So I do love the Montessori method. I love the homeschooling way of teaching. And so the toddler vibe, how did you come up with that name? Is it because you live in that area?
We do live in the area. I was born not literally in the Redwoods, but in
really?
A hospital near the Redwoods. Yes, up in Northern California before we moved. And I just felt this gravitation back to the West Coast. But really, it is because the Redwoods have just had that kind of special place in my heart. I think it's where I feel the closest to God in some sense.
Yeah.
When I'm out in nature and I just, it's palpable to me. It's where I feel my fullest
totally.
Self. And I really wanted to choose a name for the company that indicated that, you know, what we are doing here is we're not just filling their little heads with knowledge, but we are helping them to realize their own potential. And that's actually, I love that story that you brought up about, you know, trying to break your students of that habit and that mold, because something special that we actually teach in Montessori to the teachers who are Montessorians is that we have this incredible respect for the child right from the beginning. And we want to empower the children to see themselves as learners and not just to see the ways that they're interacting with the world as learning, but to really take charge of their own education. And we do it right from when they are little tiny babies. You know, we start offering them choices. You know, it's something that might look kind of silly, you know, if you were to go into a Montessori daycare and someone says, would you like to put on, you know, these teeny tiny baby pants or the yellow, you know, baby tiny baby pants, you know, and you're trying to give the baby these choices. But it's actually super, super important, because when they grow up to be older, we're giving them heavier choices. We're saying, you know, do you want to learn about the planet Mars, which I noticed you seem to have an interest in because you read a book about that? Or would you like to do research on the California newts that, you know, maybe you were discovering in the forest when you were out playing? And to be able to make those kind of choices about what I am interested in, what I want to research, what I want to learn about, and to really be in charge of that whole journey yourself it's quite a responsibility, right? It's kind of heavy. And I think that in traditional education, and obviously there are many progressive educators out in the public schools, just like you, just like I was when I taught in public schools, but something about Montessori is it's really built into the philosophy. And so that's that part is really hammered in, that this is where we want our children to go, because we want them to exit their childhood being able to make hard decisions, being able to be in charge of their choices in life, and to understand the consequences of them. And so it's a very long, long journey, but we really believe that children have the ability to, in some sense, teach themselves, even though we're there as their guide, you know, obviously. And that there are some things out and about in society that every high schooler is expected to know. And so it's not that we're just, you know, totally unschooling them, saying you don't have to learn anything. In Montessori, we do definitely have a curriculum, but we try to, as much as possible, give children choices within it and to just inspire them and support them in their journey to go out and do the work.
Yeah, I actually heard when you were talking, not anything like, it doesn't sound willy-nilly at all. In fact, it sounds really intentional, because what I heard when you were talking, like, did you want to learn more about Mars? Because I saw that you read a book about that. Or did you want to learn about the California newts, I think you said. And that, to me, you're building connection into their life. You're bridging the gap. You're saying, okay, I saw you were interested in this on your free time. Why don't we bring it into, let's just learn more about it and let's get educated on it. So it's a very strong bridge that I heard, because again, it's the breaking of that mold of like, oh, we go into the classroom and we learn what the teacher is going to teach us, versus, hey, you have these really awesome interests. So I know for me, as I was growing up, if I was homeschooled, it's almost 100% guaranteed I probably would have been much stronger in the arts. There's no doubt about it. Like, because I learned history for the first time through art history. I remember, all throughout my schooling, I couldn't understand history, not even a little bit. Like, it was just one of those things that kept, if I broke a D or a C, it was amazing. And that was with a lot of work. Like, I mean, it was with a lot of work. And I get to college and I have to take this art history class. And like, just the word history was just giving me agita. And I was like, you're going to ruin the one thing I love. You know, like, don't ruin art for me. Right. And I took the class, and lo and behold, within 3 months, everything that I missed in high school came flooding through with such depth of understanding.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand it through the scenario. I understood it through, okay, so we're learning about Rococo and the art and what they were painting and the type of paint they would use and how they would do it, who commissioned it. Then I was able to say, oh, because they couldn't afford this, so that's why this time period had this type of financial. It was really interesting. And like the Baroque period, they have a lot of like foliage and like fruits and like grapes and everything. It's very lush and full because it was a much richer time of air. So like all these things, like, I understood the people, you know, why they would consider people who were heavier set to be rich people and things like that. So it just became so much more understandable to me through the lens that I understood how to learn from. So yeah, I didn't hear anything like willy-nilly. I heard literally we present the information to the kids and they're able to make a choice. And because at the end of the day, this is something I always tell everybody, I'm like, yes, they're children and you're raising children, but you're really, if you really think about it, you're not, you're actually raising small little adults.
That's right.
Because they're going to be adults way longer.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're seeing the future adult in front of you all the time.
Right.
And I know it's hard when they're throwing tantrums and when they're refusing to do their spelling work, or, you know, they act unreasonably, but really part of the gift, you know, I think that that as homeschoolers, we can have a little more access to this gift too, because we've seen the changes that our children have made all along the years. You know, we've witnessed this immense growth. We can, if we can just have that vision of what their great potential could be, and we don't necessarily know, is it going to be an interest? You know, is this interest that they have as little people in coloring going to turn into an interest in being an artist someday? Or is this interest in coloring, you know, is people going to lead them to some kind of meticulous, you know, some other, you know, totally unrelated field? But we have to trust that their instincts for learning when they're children are leading somewhere. I'll tell you a story about my own child for just a second, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So my firstborn, he's 15 now. We've homeschooled the entire time. And when he was very, very little, he was like many, many kids, just obsessed with trains, putting the little pieces together. He went through big periods of like construction type of toys, not necessarily like playing with construction trucks, but like actually putting things together. Anything that could be put together and built in a creative way, he's fascinated with. And he just fixated on that between the ages of 3 and 5, really. And then during that period, he became totally interested in cardboard. And we went through this enormous phase where it was just like connecting like cardboard and tape, connecting things together, you know, making gears turn and wheels. And one time I went into the bathroom and he had used all these recycled materials that he found in our recycling bin. And he had made a water wheel in there, like himself, out of like cardboard and yogurt cups or, you know, something just whimsically. And these are the kind of magical things that can happen if we give our children the time, you know, to be self-directed in their learning. And that is a gift that a lot of homeschoolers do have. We have a lot more time to allow our children to have that kind of freedom that they might not necessarily get if they're in a very structured school situation where they're constantly having to change subjects, right? Wow. But, you know, what does this mean about the child? So as the Montessorian, I'm watching this, I'm going, wow, this is very interesting. You know, this isn't how I behaved as a child. I wasn't interested in putting things together. You know, I learned to read and I love to read and I love to do pretend play, but I just wasn't obsessed with like gears and things. But now that same child who was so fixated on cardboard and creativity is like, his interest is graphic design.
Wow.
And it's coding and programming. And he's making this amazing, like, coding all of this cool stuff in Minecraft and, you know, teaching himself Photoshop. So, you know, you never know when little children are doing things that just seem like playful, you know, pretend little kid stuff. They're just running around. You'd never know what that's going to lead into. And I still don't know at age 15, you know, what is all this Photoshop play going to lead to? Maybe he'll, you know, take it on and become a graphic design artist, or maybe not. Maybe, you know, he'll take it in a completely different direction. But there's that trust there. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Where we are trusting that the child is leading themselves somewhere that is not predestined, but it is like an innate biological draw to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think when we look back at our own lives, we can probably, if we do some deep digging, we can look back in our own childhoods and think, you know what? Mm. It was when I read that one book or when I watched that little TV show that gave me that spark, and all of these little things led me into the person that I am today.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the big problems with a very prescriptive approach to education is that we're assuming that all children are, you know, on the same path. And the truth is that they are not. Like, they are all going in these different directions of, you know, becoming. They're becoming different things. Yes, we're all humans.
Yes,
we all want them
yes.
to grow up to love the earth and to love each other.
Sure.
And
yeah.
Right? But they are not the same beings.
Yeah, that's so true. And we don't want them to be, right? Because we need the differences. We need all of the hands. We need the whole entire body, like the fingernail, the finger, the hand that holds it, the joints. We need the muscles, the sinews, the liquids, the fluids. We need the whole entire thing. We need every single part to be, you know, fully realized. And I love that. As we're wrapping up, like, where can they find you? Like, where can they connect with you and learn more about Child of the Redwoods?
Sure. We have a website. It is childoftheredwoods.com. That's probably the easiest. Your listeners are welcome to email me directly as well. Our email is hello@childoftheredwoods.com. We help homeschoolers all over the world and parents who aren't yet homeschooling or are just interested in Montessori. You can reach out to me anytime and I'm happy. You know, if you tell me a little bit about your child and how old they are and kind of the things you're thinking about or the direction that you're going, we love to do that.
Yeah. And I just want to add, the Montessori method doesn't only mean homeschool. It could also be like you do have your child in public school and you can add this.
Yeah, we actually do have a lot of parents who are supporting their children at home and their children are either in a Montessori school or in another public school, or maybe they're part-time homeschooling and their children attend a forest school 2 days a week and a Waldorf co-op, you know, other mornings a week. But the Montessori philosophy really is for everybody and it can enhance really any education.
That's awesome. Special. That's so great. Yeah, I wanted to just make that really clear because I don't want people to think that it's one or the other. It could be all of it because education is everywhere. Oh my gosh, Aubrey, it's been so awesome talking with you. I really feel like I can just talk to you forever. Like it's just it's a melding of the minds.
Thank you.
So what is one big takeaway you would love to leave with parents from our conversation today?
Oh, I hear a lot from parents that they don't feel capable of teaching their own children. And I think that this is just an insecurity point that a lot of parents feel. And so what I guess what I would like for them to take away is that just like their child has this intuitive ability to learn about the world, they also have this intuitive ability to learn about child development and their own child's needs, you know, so you're already there, you know, you don't have to, you know, there is no school to learn how to be a better parent. And that's a really good thing because we have individual relationships with our children. But to understand that you are your child's educator and that you are 100% capable of doing this, I think would be just a gift to parents.
Wow. That just blew me away when you said, just the way your kids have an intuition, so do you. Like, whoa, talk about connectedness right now. That's pretty, that brings you right back to the Redwoods, the mother and her little sprouts. I mean, oh my gosh. Aubrey, you're amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure talking to you, learning from you today, and just being really, I feel like a better person after this conversation. So thank you so much for just coming on and just sharing your wisdom and your knowledge.
Thank you very much.
If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.